Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Just let me begin by sharing a few thoughts that I've had over the past period of time. First one is this, that film, I don't know what film it is, there's plenty of them, where they dig in a hole and they're looking for something. You know the film, there's plenty of them, and the spade goes clunk, and they said, oh, there's something there, and they dig it out, and it's a box. And they prize open the lid, and we're all looking to see what's in the box. Remember that film? There's lots of films like that. And then what came to me, I just wonder anybody would be able to tell me where this quotation comes from. It goes like this. Where be the treasure, says he. In Ben Gunn's cave, says I. That's not the book, that's the Disney film, and it's got Robert Newton in it and, you know, our gym lad and all that. And it's the idea of the treasure chest. And then the thought came to me of National Lampoon Christmas film, which Mary and I watch every year and laugh at it, even though we know what the jokes are. When he goes up into the roof, you've seen it, he goes up into the roof to get something and the door falls shut and he can't get out again. And all the family went off to do the shopping and he was stuck there in the roof and it was freezing. And he opened a trunk to get some of his mother's old clothes out to wear because he was so cold. And it's that picture again of what's in the box. And that's the sort of focus of what I want to say. Now, the picture changes. You get the drama of that. The picture changes. And then we have this, so we have this picture of what Adrian has just read about the foundations. And I know some of you old wrinklies, when he said, and the rains came down and the floods, wanted to sing it, didn't you? Come on, you did. You wanted to sing it, didn't you? And the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand fell flat. We love it, don't we? The foolish man and the wise man, it's about foundations. And as we shall see, it's the same thought. And Paul says, each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And Paul builds this picture of an edifice that we are building on the foundation of Jesus. And either it's going to be something worthwhile, which will stand the fires of judgment, or it's going to be something which is built of rubbish, which will be burnt up. But the foundation will still be there. It's like, he's almost like saying, this is what I imagine, he's saying that we're going to go to heaven because of Jesus, but there's something else that's either worthless or valuable. And Mary was reminding me the other day, she said, John, you can't take it with you. I think she was trying to get me to spend some money, which, you know, doesn't come easily. And we've all heard it, haven't we? And I was reminded of J. John when his dad died, and at the reception, somebody said, how much did your dad leave? And he said, he left it all. Because we can't take it with us. And that's the thought that we have. Naked I came into this world, and naked when I go. But actually, that isn't true. And there's something in this life that carries over into the next. Now, Jesus' words actually contradict that idea of you can't take it with you. And Jesus said this, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see where I'm going with this? The treasure chest and the treasures inside. And this is what Jesus says. And the apostle sort of reinforces that. Paul says in 1 Timothy somewhere, in this way they will lay up, he's talking about somebody, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. You see how he's combined those two ideas of treasure and foundation. He will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. I think Paul was listening to my sermon preparation when he wrote this. So that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Treasures and a firm foundation. So I want to ask the question this morning, what's in the treasure chest? What's in my box? What's in yours that we're going to take with us? Now, I've just had to think about this, and all these things are based on Scripture, obviously. Why would I be here otherwise? And I want to mention just a few things that might be in the box. We have to ask ourselves the question, is there anything in my box which is worth taking into what Jesus calls the coming age? Paul says in, so a few suggestions. The first one is this, it's character. What do we take through to an extra? What's in the box? Our character. Now, I preached on this a few weeks ago. Most of you will have forgotten, even if you were paying attention the first time. But character is that which we will take with us. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance and perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And this idea of character as being something which carries over from this life into the next is exemplified in Jesus. I thought about this quite a lot, and I've come to the conclusion that when Jesus came into this world, well, actually, it's not my conclusion. It says in Scripture, it's in second chapter of Philippians, if you want to look at it. He came into this world with nothing. What I think is new, that I think, I'm going to ask somebody who knows something about it to confirm this later or not, is that actually he came into this world with less than we did. We came in with a full set of DNA from two parents. He didn't, because he never had a dad. So he came into this world with nothing, and everything that happened in the life of Jesus from that first breath, indeed, actually, from that first conception to the very last moment of his life in this world, Jesus was developing character. In all the things that happened to him, the insults, the poverty, the hypocrisy, all those terrible things that he went through, and then finally in that infinite suffering of the cross, which we can't imagine what that was like, he took it all and he used it under God his Father to produce character, so that at the end when he said, it is finished, it meant many things, and one of the things that I think it meant was that he had been made perfect in that moment. That's a strange phrase out of the book of Hebrews, that he was made perfect. I thought he always was perfect. So what does it mean? I think it means that his character became perfected in that last moment on the cross when he said, it is finished. He became perfect through obedience. It says in the book of Hebrews. So, what's in the box? Character. We have character. We are developing character. And the things that happen to us, good and bad, under God, are going towards developing a character that we're going to take with us, I believe. Second thing is this. What's in the box? There's a prize in the box. The apostle says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There is a prize. I got a prize once. I got a prize when I was at school. When we all left, they gave out the prizes, and they were book tokens. I used my book tokens to buy this, which is my first Bible after I became a Christian. And there's the book token. There's a little certificate, a prize. It says, this book was presented to Jay Smallwood of Verdin Grammar School by the Rotary Club. The Rotary Club has been the pupil who best exemplified the ideals of the Rotary movement, service above self. It's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And there's another one here. There you go. Verdin Grammar School prize. It says the Charles Massey prize for come on. For endeavor. Endeavor. The only endeavor I ever did was getting to school early on Thursday morning so I could copy Mike Higgins's physics homework. Prizes. There is a prize to be won. But you know, if you think about a prize for a race, Paul talks about running a race. It's not like a competitive race, is it? Where there's somebody, it's like a one-horse race. I mean, that's the only race I'm ever likely to win, a one-horse race. But I did win a prize in a race once. It was in a Sunday school thing on a field day. They couldn't afford to send us to the seaside that year, so we had a field day and we had competitions and races, and you know, and I remember going in a race. I'd be about 8 years old, and I won. I don't think there was anybody else in the race, but I won, and I won a prize. And you'd never guess what the prize was. I was 8 years old. It was a tie. A tie. And I took this tie home and I showed it to my dad. And my dad was a heathen. He didn't believe in chapel or anything. He had no good words. He said, that's just typical Methodist. So giving him a second-hand tie that nobody wants. an 8-year-old boy. When I retired the last, I mean, I've never worn a tie since. The point is, however, I remember winning a prize. It doesn't matter what it was. And in the box, there's a prize for running the race. And Paul says this, I think these are probably the most moving words in the Bible, certainly in the New Testament. I don't know whether I'm even going to be able to read it. It says, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and for the time for my departure is near. All you old gray-haired wrinklies, you'll associate with this one. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. There's a prize. When you open the box, is there going to be a prize for having run the race and kept the faith? And even in the book of Revelation, right in the very last words of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, this is what Jesus says. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have done. To what they have done. In the end, what we have done matters. Now, don't let me give you the idea that our works are going to be rewarded in any way. They are only going to be rewarded if they are the works that God have given us to do and we've done them in obedience. Those are the works which will receive the award. And there are lots of people say, oh, I'm going to do a brilliant thing for God. God should be really, really pleased with this that I'm going to do. And God says, sorry, it stinks. Because it wasn't my idea, it was yours. So the things that we have done, we will be rewarded for, but they've got to be those things that God gave us to do, and we do them in obedience. Right, the third thing is, in the box, what's in the box? Let's have a look. What's in the box? There are gifts in the box. But they are not gifts to us. They're gifts which we have given. That's what's in the box. And Paul says, I have received, he's talking about something. He says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The things that Epaphroditus gave were credited to his account. They were pleasing to God. And the gifts which we have in our box are the things that we've given. Remember Jesus? It says in Luke's gospel, it says, Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. Sure. Yeah, okay. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. She was commended for her giving because she gave sacrificially. Not out of her plenty, but out of her poverty. And on another occasion, Jesus said, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And those of us who have plenty, and there's nobody here who doesn't have plenty, we are given plenty so that we can give it. And those things that we give will be credited. They go onto our credit side, not the debit. So, what else is in the box? Well, some of you will be very pleased to know that there is a body in the box. It's not coughing like. There is a body in the box. Now, this is a mystery. Something that we take with us into the coming age is a body. I don't know what comes next. The Bible tells us that things place some place called heaven. I'm not all that keen on that. There's some, because I don't know anything about it, really. There's a new thing called, something else called the new earth. The Bible says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this idea of heaven, I don't know what idea you have of heaven, but if it's an idea of that we're flitting around like sort of diaphanous butterflies or sitting around smiling at everybody and playing harps, forget that. I'm not interested in that at all, you know. If that's what heaven is like, well, I'm not saying I don't want to go, but I said I'm not keen. But it isn't so. That's not what it's like. Because we'll have a body. And today, as somebody said earlier, all over the world today, millions, possibly billions of people will be saying, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. So we'll be taking a body. And it'll be like this body, but better. It'll be a wonderful body. It won't have any of the aches and pains. I know you're chuffed to death about your You're chuffed to life about your healed foot, June. But you know you're going to have a body much better than that one. So is John. You'll be pleased to know. We're all going to have a body. It's going to be the kind of body that Jesus had when he ate the fish at that supper or whatever it was on the beach. It's going to be a body. And I'm really glad about that we're going to have a body. I'm going to be able to recognize Mary. She's not going to be, you know, like a ghost. So in the box, there's a body. And I'm really pleased about that. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, that's a great chapter on resurrection. It says, so it will be in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. That's this one. It is raised imperishable. A different kind of body altogether. And when Jesus rose from the dead in his new body, which is the example, he was the firstborn from the dead. They recognized him. It wasn't the body that they put in the grave. That was unrecognizable. It says, tells us in the book of Isaiah. It was unrecognizable. But the body he came with, and it had the scars on it. His body had the scars to be worn as badges of merit in his new body. And if somebody smashes you in the face because you tell them about Jesus and you get a broken nose, then perhaps your new body, when you go to heaven, will have a broken nose. It'll be a badge of merit that you received. And that's just what I think, you know. That might not be true. In any case. Okay, the fifth thing is this. What's in the box? A job. A job. There'll be like a contract, like, I don't know what it'll be, but there's a job. And again, the idea of going into the coming age, heaven, new earth, new heaven, new earth, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, there'll be a job for us to do. The idea of sitting around in a new earth or heaven or wherever it is and doing nothing all day just fills me with total dread. Because, you know, I'll go and break a window to have something to do to mend it rather than do nothing. And we need to have things to do. And it says, again, it's in the book of Revelation, it's in chapter 5, it says, he's speaking about some who are going to be there. He said, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on earth. That's what it says. There will be service. There will be work to do in the coming age. And we will be reigning. Somehow, we'll be in charge, we believers. I don't know what that means. Maybe it'll say, oh, Florence, you're going to be very useful to me. I'm going to put you in charge of Moscow. Or Birmingham. Yeah, Birmingham would be good. We're going to be work to do. We're going to reign. I don't know what that means, but it sounds all right to me. You know, I'd rather be reigning than be a servant or a slave. No, that's not right, because servants, they'll have their role as well. And that's a privilege. And then sixthly and lastly, and there may be others, you maybe have thought of another one already actually to go in the box, but I'll keep that for another time. Sixthly, and I think this is really interesting, there will be people in the box. You open the lid and there you'll see people. Where do I get that from? When Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he said this, what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Is it not you? And he points to the church of Thessalonica, which is a cracking little church by all accounts, a bit like this. And he said, you will be the crown in which I will glory in that coming age. And the thing that quite excites me is this. When I get there, I'll be able to go and find my spiritual daddy, Stuart, and I'll say to him, glad you're here, Stuart. I'm only here because of you. And maybe, just maybe, somebody will come up to me and say, John, glad you're here. I'm only here because of you. Because sometime you gave somebody a copy of Why Jesus and said, would you like to read this? This is what we believe. I think you might be interested in this. Would you like to? It's free. Or somebody that you've helped in the name of Jesus and they know that you've done it in the name of Jesus. Or you've shown love towards somebody who hasn't known very much in their life. Somebody is in the box who will be able to say to you, I'm here because of you. What a great thing, you know. So, I sometimes have this thought, not so much these days, but I used to have this thought. What a terrible tragedy it would be to arrive at the end of your life and on your deathbed. And by the way, I have prayed to the Lord that I will have a deathbed. You know, I don't want to die in a coma. I don't want to die on the road. I said, Lord, when my moment comes, let me be totally compos mentis, completely aware, so that the people sitting around my bedside, I can give them a lecture. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. But what a terrible tragedy in your last moment to look back on a whole life and say it's been utterly futile. The whole thing, the whole 70 years has been completely pointless. Nothing has happened in my life that is of any use. But what a wonderful thing at the end of your life to be able to look back at life and see, well, at least there's been some fruitfulness. There's something in the box. To go there with an empty box, at least you'd be there. but to have an empty box. What a tragedy. So those are a few things that might be in the box. And I have thought of some others, but I'm not going to say those because it will cause a fuss. Just those words again from Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. That's how to die, with those sort of words. But lastly, and I mean really, really lastly now, I just want to read one verse that seemed to me to be really relevant. It's from Matthew chapter 2, and it's like this. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. And the things that are in our box when we get there are for us to open up and offer to him. So what's in the box? What's in your box? What's in mine?